Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. St. Louis has joined the American craft beer explosion with gusto. One of the craft brewers of more recent vintage is coming at it from a somewhat different angle here. Plans to join the local craft beer marketplace in early January with a non-alcoholic product. Jeff Stevens and Genevieve Barlow are the founders of Wellbeing Brewing Company. It was founded a year or so ago. The name Wellbeing probably tells us a lot about what this beer and its marketing strategy are all about. Jeff Stevens and Genevieve Barlow are with me in studio. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having
us. Yeah, thanks for having us.
We tried to drum up a little business
for
you with Danny Meyer. He's going to consider it.
Ah, good. That's awesome.
Well, let's see how that goes.
Yeah.
Jeff, I'll start with you. What brought you into this particular niche market in the beer industry?
Yeah, so I am in a person in long-term recovery, as they say. I learned very on in my life that alcohol wasn't going to mix with me, wasn't going to end well, so I quit drinking at 24. And yet I found myself as a career as a beer marketer. So I worked at an agency as a creative director working on beer, working on spirits, working on wine, all of these industries, and that's what I did. And about a year ago, I was over in London with some friends, and they had shown me how much this non-alcoholic beer market was growing in Europe. It's 10% of the market in Spain, 6% of the market in Germany. And immediately, this idea felt exactly right for me. As someone who doesn't drink but knows all about the marketing of the product, it just immediately hit me as like, I am going to go do this.
Genevieve, is this something of a crapshoot in St. Louis, though? I mean, known as it is for beer?
No. Actually, I think, I think the fact that we are well known for beer in St. Louis, I think this is actually a really innovative space that a lot of St. Louisans can get behind.
If you can't make this in St. Louis, where can you make it?
Yeah.
The beer capital of the country.
It's been tried before in other parts of the country, and some of the big boys are in the game.
They
as
are.
Well.
Mm-hmm.
Problem is, and I know you brought some samples here, so I'm going to put it to the test in a moment or two. Problem is, in my experience, when it doesn't taste much like beer. It tastes like carbonated something, but not beer.
And the way that we're making the beer is different, and that's why I was so excited about this. So when you get back, and I was like, how are we going to make this? How is it made now? What's the different? And how are we going to actually put this out there? You learn that it hasn't happened before because it's really tricky to make. As you're right, it's hard to make non-alcoholic beer. The way that they've usually done it is a method called stop fermentation, where they actually don't let the beer ferment so the sugars don't get fermented. It's a very sweet, warty product. And that's what I think most people would probably say they've had before. We take finished craft beer, and we put it through a vacuum distillation process. We imported a machine from Munich, Germany.
Another pretty good beer town.
Another pretty good beer town, exactly. Put those two together that actually puts the beer in a vacuum and boils it at a very low temperature. So what happens is the alcohol is gently removed, the beer flavor comes through, and what you're left with is a really, really good product.
What is this German machine like?
It is.
It's a monstrosity.
It is.
I'm conjuring up something that I don't know.
Yeah, it looks like, they could have made Frankenstein with it or making this beer, but it looks like that kind of thing. It's basically just a big still. But what it does is it's so tall that we had to put a hole in the roof of the brewery to fit the machine in. And it, as it takes the alcohol up, it floats off the alcohol. It also floats off some of the aromatics that you'd normally lose in a boil. But this machine captures all of the flavors and the aromatics that it loses and then re-puts it back into the beer. It's a big machine. It's hugely complex. But we felt that if we were going to try this, we wanted to make the best product we could make, and that's what we invested in.
Genevieve, I understand that this gear is pretty expensive. What is it going to do to the cost of your beer?
That's probably a question Jeff needs to ask or to answer.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think we'll be on shelf at a premium craft beer price.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think we'll be very competitive with what you'd expect to pay for a craft beer.
Well, how long are you going to keep me in suspense?
Are you ready for this? All right.
I've been ready.
All right. So this is our first brand. We're going to launch with two brands. This is the first one. This is a golden wheat beer. It's called Heavenly Body Golden Wheat. It is 68 calories, which is interesting.
Well, that's what alcohol does to beer and to any other drink.
Yes. Alcohol adds about half the calories.
Are you going to join me?
I am going to join you. I would never miss an opportunity to drink this. If anyone's a fan, I'm a fan. Jen, I'm going to give you one.
Thanks.
It, it's better to my taste than any of the other near beer or non-alcoholic beers.
Good, good.
Yeah. And I can drive home and all of this is over.
Exactly. I've been drinking and driving since we bottled this stuff.
And this is just one. You've got a couple that you're coming out with in the next couple of weeks.
We do.
In January, early January, we still have the date.
So we're contract brewing with O'Fallon Brewery. They've been fantastic in terms of helping us throughout this whole endeavor, really.
Yeah.
And so we are working with them with different recipes. And we have our Heavenly Body Golden Wheat out January 2nd. So that will be online shipping as well as in Whole Foods in Brentwood. We'll be doing some sampling there and then various restaurants and
Fields
pubs.
Foods.
Fields Foods. Fields Square, yes.
Yeah. Our friends.
So pretty good partners there in terms of getting distribution to the... Who is your prospective audience for this,
if you will?
Not just people who are, who are on the wagon.
Yeah.
Or...
You know, it's interesting because it is, you think that it's people in sobriety and then pregnant moms and designated drivers. However, since we've been kind of, doing this this endeavor, really, we've found that everyone is welcome. Like, we've had shared stories from many people reaching out who, besides like Taco Tuesday and they want to have an NA beer and then go back to work, people training for a triathlon, a marathon, people who just honestly want to have a couple of beers and then they want to switch over but still be, still participate fully in the fun and go out with their friends and be social, but have things to do on Saturday morning. So we really, our mission at Wellbeing Brewing is truly to be inclusive and to make NA craft beer, a great option for everyone.
Yeah.
How are you going to market it?
Yeah. I think right now, the what I've learned in, launching beer brands before is the best thing you can do early on is to get people to try it. So I think a lot of what we're going to do is sampling right out of the gate. Mm-hmm. We hopefully will get people to try it in the on-premise, which is bars and restaurants, and then hopefully they go and buy it in the off-premise. That's sort of how the business is working. And that's exactly what we're doing this month. We're trying to get out as much as we can and sample. So check out our website because we'll be all over at holiday parties this December. And then hopefully we will be in grocery stores and places this January.
The fact that it's non-alcoholic, does this mean that you can distribute it a little bit differently, number one? And number two, what about people under the age of 21?
Yeah. All those questions, yes, we can. And that's exciting. So the way beer is distributed now, it goes through a wholesaler, as by law, and then goes to a retailer. We can do that, which we will in many cases, but we can also ship it much easier than beer can be shipped. So e-commerce becomes an interesting place for us to go. Which is exciting. So we don't have those restrictions. And as far as underage, I think state by state and law by law, it's a different thing. We would never market it to anyone underage. So we would just like to stay with whatever the policies are and market it to 21-year-olds.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think that's just out of the gate. I think that's how retailers will handle it. And I think NA beers right now, if you go buy them, I think you'll get carded.
Is there any alcohol at all in it? I mean, it's hard to make a product like this and not have
little bit.
Trace.
So the label, the way that the government lets you label these is, or they insist you label these, is it has less than 0.5% ABV in them. This probably has 0.2 when it's all said and done. So it's a trace amount of alcohol. They all have a little in them. Most of the domestics, they're all about that much. And that's just, but in comparison to a real beer, which is about 4.1 is your average, it's a trace amount.
I just want to go back to the idea of underage drinking and non-alcoholic beer.
Sure.
You say that the people, the vendors, if you will, will probably market it or sell it as they would an alcoholic product.
I would think.
Because there is a danger, I suppose, of being criticized for trying to encourage young people to drink alcoholic beer otherwise.
And I think that's a great concern. I think people can raise that, and certainly when we got into this as parents of kids. But when you take a step back and think about it, I think lots of kids get curious about drinking anyway. I think finding a beer when you're 18, 19, 20 isn't that hard. You tend to run into them and sort of understand that. I look at it as a thing that I would much rather my 18-year-old, 19-year-old drink than a sugar soda or real beer. And so I think it may help them and cut down on underage drinking.
Yeah, and definitely, yes, cut down. And then I think also we are really trying to cultivate like a more mindful drinking in general. So whether you're, an 18-year-old college student or you're, you know, older, just kind of cultivating mindful drinking and being more present and aware of how much you're drinking and what those effects have to do or, you know, do to your body. And
yeah, so I think we can be your third beer. That's good for us. Mm-hmm. That's where we want to be.
Your name, well-being.
Yeah.
I assumed in the getting ready for this interview that the name well-being is – relates to the beer and the fact that it's better for you in some ways.
Beer is such an amazing product. It's been around for thousands of years, right? It is all natural. It is made with four ingredients. There's so many health benefits to it. And then when you take out the alcohol, it all of a sudden becomes this drink that is just, it's so nice to have. So truly, we think just taking out the alcohol alone adds to your well-being on so many ways. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I think this is out, and this is a big one to me, is when you don't drink and you go to a bar or a restaurant and everyone orders something interesting and you have to order a Diet Coke, everyone around you looks at you as if you don't drink. Is there something wrong with you? Are you okay? And it kills their buzz. What we want is to give this product so you feel like you can participate in the fun by ordering a beer and telling everyone around you, I'm here to have fun. I'm here just to have fun with you. I'm just not drinking. Mm-hmm. And so that's exciting.
Why are you contracting out to
To O'Fallon?
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because being someone who didn't drink, it was great to have this partnership. And I've known Jim for a long time. Jim Gorska, who's the president of O'Fallon, he's terrific. So when we got into this, I needed someone that was crazy enough to give this thing a shot. And they've been in business for 17 years. They're one of the original OG craft breweries in town. They make terrific, terrific beer. And so I feel really fortunate that we found them for a partnership.
Ultimately, would you hope to be doing that yourself or continue to farm it up?
Genevieve, do you want to own a brewery?
No.
Owning a brewery is,
I think,
it's a different business than what we're in.
Yes.
I like to be in the business of taking the alcohol out of the beer, and I'm very happy with that.
All right.
Yeah.
We have a caller here who wants to get into this conversation. Yeah. It's Kent calling from Creve Coeur. Go ahead, Kent. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. First of all, I can see your new ad campaign. Now you can drink and drive. Also, I was wondering, one thing I always found odd on alcoholic products, particularly beer, is that they do not have the standard nutrition box labeling calories and, you know, certain vitamins and fiber and stuff or lack of thereof. So I was wondering if you're going to have that on there.
Yeah.
And finally, third, a comment. I wanted to thank you for vindicating me. A number of years ago, Don had on his show someone from Schlafly, I think Four Hands Brewing, talking about the local brewing scene. And I called and suggested a non-alcoholic beer. And boy, did they give a thumbs down for that. They said there would just be no market for it and that it was too difficult to do unless you're the big guys like Anheuser-Busch. Mm-hmm. So thank you for vindicating me.
Yeah. Well, you're welcome. That's interesting. To get to the nutritional thing, the FDA regulates most food and beverages, but beer is regulated by a different thing called the TTB. It's like the Bureau of Alcohol and Tobacco, and they don't require nutritional labels. Having said that, I think it's a great idea, and for us, we should start putting that on our products because I think there is a lot of nutritional value.
What about the marketing challenges? I mean, we talked a little bit about it, but there's certainly – coming in with this kind of a product does have to have certain challenges.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, Genevieve. You know, I think it's, you know, the challenges I think are opportunities really to help kind of change the mindset. I think kind of going back to what Kent had just, you know, had just spoken about, you know, why NA beer in general. And so I think it's helping to kind of educate educate the public that this is a needed option when people go out at night and, you know, that this is a product that kind of adds value socially.
And it's going to have to be word of mouth pretty much, isn't it? Because it's expensive to bring out the Clydesdales, if you will, and that sort of thing.
You're right. Well, I think you exactly said that. And people in marketing are always wanting to create movements. I've been in lots of meetings where everybody wants to create a movement. But I truly think this is a movement that sort of has started. I don't know if we have to start it, but I think we can add a lot of value to this idea of mindful drinking. People just being aware of how much alcohol they're consuming and when they have reached that level where most people drink mindlessly, drink mindfully, and when they've reached the couple where they're set, we're a great place to pick up.
But you'll be taking on, as I mentioned earlier, the big boys, Heineken and Anheuser-Busch and some others that are doing the same thing.
That's true.
That's a big arena.
You're right. And I think in the same way that craft brewers have been taking on these giant brewers right mm-hmm. now and have done very, very well, the thing that those big brewers can't do is brew amazing tasting craft beers in the kinds of styles that we can. And that's what I think we will win at. We don't need to be their kind of volume, but we can be their far better product.
And they are also, pardon the pun, not intended, swallowing some of these craft brewers as, brewers as well.
They are.
Because they can afford to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have a question here I guess it's an email. It said, I understand, Jeff, that you've been spending a lot of time on the road trying to get people and businesses interested in your beer. Mm-hmm. What is the case you make? What kinds of reactions do you get? You've told us what the case is that you make. Yeah. What kind of reaction are you getting so far?
Well, it's funny. There's a couple. There's the first one that is, why? Why would you do this to my beer? Why would you take alcohol out of my beer? And we have to explain that there's a lot of people that don't drink and how you can do that. But I think overall the reactions are that this beer tastes great. I think the crisp, dry smoothness of what we have in the bottle right now is far better than the sweeter, non-fermented stuff mm-hmm. that's out there, and it tastes a lot more like beer. And I think people just when you see the brand, see the idea. I think everyone, if you run a bar or restaurant, you know people who don't drink. If you think about it, you probably know someone who doesn't drink right now. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone does. And I think this is the product for them.
I'm going to take one more call. It's going to have to be quick because time is getting away. But Lisa in Kirkwood, make your comment or question fast, please.
Thanks for doing this. It's really exciting. I can't wait to try your product. And I want to encourage you that after you've achieved success with this, that you might consider making an N.A. wine. And when you get that done, even an N.A. scotch.
All right. That's ambitious, but we'll give that a shot.
Here. Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Lisa. Yeah.
Well, let's go over once again the styles that you're going to be working with initially.
Sure. Yep. So we've got this golden wheat out. This is very approachable, as they say, mm-hmm. golden wheat beer. It's very crisp, very dry right now.
And very good. I have to say, I really think it's very good.
Oh, good.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. And then the next beer we're coming out with is Amber. It will be a spicy ale, a hop forward, a little more crafty, a little more aromatic, a little more bitter, something along these spiced ale, pale ale kind of thing. And that'll be out mid-January, hopefully.
That's called Hellraiser. So Heavenly Body and then Hellraiser. Yeah. So.
Okay, and initially we're talking about Whole Foods and who else?
Well, we hope it'll be in Whole Foods, Fields Foods, Randall's, Brennan's. I know we're going to be at Pop's Blue Moon, Smith down at the Royale, grocery stores. We're calling on everybody. If you're interested, hello@wellbeingbrewing.com. Hit us up. We'll get you some beer.
We'll put a link to that on our website at sdopublicradio.org. And you can do it, sell it through the internet because it's non-alcoholic.
That's right.
Yes, we'll be pre-ordering.
Okay. Thank you so much, Jeff Stevens and Genevieve Bartle, for being with us. Good luck with your beer.
Thank you.
It's great. Cheers.
Appreciate it. Cheers.
I endorse it for whatever that's worth. Thank you again. Archive versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs available for download or podcast at stopublicradio.org. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Don Marsh.